we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are back and running again now that Labor Day is in the rearview mirror. So September is here. I don't know about you, but cooler weather would be greatly appreciated. Paul Cutt gave me a yeah for that one. So we're thankful. It's not going to stay this hot forever. And praise the Lord for that. We want to say thank you today to Weyrich Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538. We recommend them highly. They are, they've been out to my house. They've given me a quote. They're coming out in October to do the work. And they will do a great job for you, 632-9538. I was describing to them, you know, because this summer has been pretty warm. Last summer was, as far as I was concerned, it was milder than it had been before. But this summer was a scorcher. And there have been a lot of air conditioners that needed to be replaced and serviced and all of that sort of stuff. And if you happen to be one of those, maybe yours hadn't had any problems thus far. But, you know, you might even want to have them come check your electric or your heater before the cold weather gets here. 632-9538. Dennis and Carla, they do a great job, and they will take good care of you. So, remind you that this Wednesday, or this coming Sunday, September the 11th, I'm looking at my calendar here trying to figure out where it is. September the 11th is our back to school giveaway measuring day. It's the day, you know, this is for anybody from kindergarten on up to high school. If you want to come, I don't know how many pairs of shoes we'll be giving away. We won't know that until after the kids get there on September the 11th. And so that coming week, we will be buying all sorts of shoes and having a great time. So that's coming up this weekend. And for all you football junkies out there, NFL season starts. I think the first game is Thursday night this week. And that will increase television viewing options. I think it was in January of this year we finally got a television package. And I don't know how many different stations that we have, but you know, you can flip through all of those channels and look at them and say, there's still nothing on television. And, football helps alleviate that. At least it does for me. So, if you do get a chance, come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. We're truly blessed with all that He has going on in our life. So we're going to take you back to Isaiah chapter 36. If you did not get in on yesterday's program, you can listen to the podcast. Just go to WMIEFM.com. You can scroll down at the bottom of the page and it says on demand. You can find the date. Yesterday was September the 5th, and go down to the Refresh Radio broadcast, click on that button, and it should be up there today. And that way you can listen to what was going on. To give you a quick synopsis, Hezekiah was on the throne of Judah. He was a godly king. He did a lot of things right. He was not a perfect man. I will tell you that. He made some bad decisions, some bad choices. And but God answered his prayer, extended his life 15 years. He did things that no other king before him had done. And just was known as a godly king, and yet the enemy still attacked him. And so we are looking at Isaiah 36 and 37 to know how to respond when the enemy taunts us, when the enemy attacks us, and know how to stand in faith. We need to stand in faith. knowing our God. So yesterday we talked about whom do you trust? In whom do you trust? And in Isaiah 36:10, the mouthpiece of the king of Assyria says, "Have I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it." Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the Rabshakeh, "Please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it, and do not speak to us in Hebrew in the hearing of the people who are on the wall." But the Rabshakeh said, "Has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words, and not to the men who sit on the wall, who will eat and drink their own waste with you?" We're going to stop the reading there for just a moment. The first thing I want you to know is the enemy, when he attacks, he's going to try and get you convinced that God is the one who has told him to do it. Now, remember, he was confused. This guy who was speaking was confused. He didn't know the word of God. He didn't realize that there was a distinction between the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Baal. He didn't understand that. He didn't realize that there was a distinction between Jehovah God, between Yahweh, and between the Ashtoreth and all Molech and all of the others that had demanded child sacrifice, who had been the gods of the nations around them, and the depravity and the prostitution and the unwanted children, all of that that came about of that. I want you to know there is a distinction between the God of the Bible and every other god. One is holy and benevolent, and the others are demanding, and they are just glorified manifestations of human weaknesses, of human characteristics that are not pleasing. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so when the enemy comes, he will try and convince you that, first of all, that the reason you are going through this is because God is mad at you. God wasn't mad with the people of Judah. It was the nations of Israel who had rejected him that were carried off into captivity and were replaced in their own land. Those were the people that God was displeased with. Those were the people that that the king of Assyria was the tool that God used to bring about his judgment, so that they would seek him and call out to him. That's the people that God was displeased with. But the enemy will always overstep his bounds. And this enemy overstepped his bounds and attacked Hezekiah, and he tried to tell the people that were being attacked, "Look, God is the one who has told me to do this." Now it goes on, and he basically tells them this. You'd have to drop down a little bit later. We'll talk about it more. He says, "I'm going to carry you away from the land that God has given you, and I'm going to give you a land just like it." Don't ever believe that. When the enemy comes and says, "I'm going to take what God has given to you, I'm going to reposition you and replace you, and what I provide for you is going to be as good or better than God." You and I need to know the Word of God. If we don't know the Word of God, then we will constantly believe the devil's lies. The Bible talks about people who prophesied under deceiving spirits. There are people who prophesied under the influence of their own spirit. And there were prophets who prophesied as the Spirit of God moved upon them. You need to be able to discern which one of those voices is speaking. Okay? The gift of discernment is not something just reserved for biblical times. You and I need the gift of discernment in 2016, when there are all sorts of voices clamoring for our attention. We need to be able to identify the voice of God. And the way that we do that is we know the Word of God. We know what he said. We know that he doesn't lie. And we know that our hearts are right with him. And so, anyway, the enemy comes and the people who are in charge said, don't speak in terms that the average ordinary guy in the street would be able to understand. We're the ones you're negotiating with. Speak to us, but don't speak in a language that the people would understand. Do you realize that in church history, one of the bloodiest conflicts, there were people who actually died for the privilege of the average ordinary man being able to hold the word of God in his hands, to read it in his own language, in a language that he would understand. And so I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the word of God is available to me. If I don't understand what it says, I can go and I can look in a concordance to find out the meaning of a word. I can go to commentaries. I can go to church. I can ask the pastor. I can do all. You see, because God wants us to know the word of God. He wants boys and girls to know the word of God. Listen, in 2016, God still wants young men and young women waiting for marriage before they participate in marital activities. There, I said it. Did he just say that on the radio? Yes, I said it. I don't care what's socially acceptable. I don't even care what's acceptable in your church. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. I'm here to tell you that God only wants men to be married to women and women only to be married to men, and for that to be one man and one woman, that's the reality. That's what it's, that's the picture. Do you realize it's because that relationship is a type, it's a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. Do you realize that the word of God says that he expects us to be faithful even to the point of death, till death do us part? Those are the realities that God has. And so you need to know the word of God. And so get a Bible that you understand, read it, study it, know what it says, because you need the word of God to be able to fight off temptation. If you haven't experienced temptation, first of all, I will tell you this, God doesn't lead you into temptation. The reason that I know this is Jesus prayed, Father, lead them not into temptation. And Jesus never prayed just for, you know, the sake of hearing his own voice. He didn't do that. He didn't pray just semantical prayers. He didn't pray for vain repetition. He prayed in the perfect accordance with the will of God. And when Jesus prays, don't lead them into temptation, guess what? That means he's not going to lead us into temptation. I don't have to go looking for temptation. Temptation comes and finds me. And when temptation comes, if I don't know the word of God, the chances are higher that I am going to cave into temptation, give into temptation, whether it's intentional or unintentional. But if I know the word of God, if I know that his no means no and his yes means yes, then I'm going to be able to resist the temptation and say, you can't lure me with some cheap imitation when God has an original in its prime condition. That's what I'm going to wait for. I encourage you, be patient. Wait for God to fulfill his word in your life. And so he, in verse number 13, it says, then the Rabshakeh stood and called out with a loud voice, and he said, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Do you realize, he said, that, I mean, what a 2016 concept. people are still trying to say, don't trust in God. That Christians are a bunch of out of date, uninformed bigots that don't listen. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do, I'm going to trust in God. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you, nor for he will not be able to deliver you, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria. So do not let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let him make you trust in the Lord by what he says, and don't listen to him. Okay? That's what the enemy will tell you for those godly leaders that God has specifically placed in your life for such a time as this. I don't know where you go to church. I don't know your pastor's name. So when I tell you this, please understand they are there to bless you. They are God's gift to you to speak words of life into your life. I am thankful for authorities over me. I am thankful that they have wisdom. I tell you, I view them as God's gift. And so when they speak, I pay attention. I listen to their counsel and to their wisdom. So the king, it goes on and says, verse number 16, do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria. So he's saying, don't listen to them, listen to me. Don't listen to those people who are trying to cause you to trust in God. Listen to the king of Assyria, because I'm more powerful than your God. Don't listen to your king, listen to my king. Who are you going to listen to? Whose voice will speak into your life? Because you need to determine whose voice you're going to listen to. I happen to recognize the voices of the family that I have. I want to listen to them. My wife speaks to me, and I pay attention to what she says. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the latest and the greatest, or are you going to listen to the one who spoke and flung the stars into place and placed them all in a strategic orbit? Are you going to listen to one who understands macro and micro? Are you going to understand? Are you going to listen to somebody who has an opinion, or are you going to listen to the expert in every field? As for me and my house, we're going to listen to God. God's word is settled forever in heaven and on earth. That's the one I'm going to listen to. I'm not going to set aside fact for theory. I'm going to listen to God. So he says, do not listen, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me, and every one of you eat from his own vine and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying the Lord will deliver us. And we're going to stop just there for just a moment. And so what he says is, come on out, eat of the land, partake of it. But I want you to understand that when you come out, when you make peace with me, I'm going to come and take you from where you've always been, that place that God gave you as an inheritance when he brought you out of Egypt. I'm going to take your inheritance. And then I'm going to take you to a place just like your own, only you won't want to fight for it. You won't be contentious over it. I'm going to take you to a place, and you will be just like everyone else. And I want you to know that at this point in time, the king of Assyria, even though is the most powerful nation on the earth, it was not far away from complete and total annihilation. It was going to fall. Those people who made peace with him and got transplanted, guess what? They were soon under someone else's dominion. They were soon under someone else's control. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. And those who promise to give you something just as good as God has provided for you, they're lying to you. It's in their interest, not your interest, to do that. So now, after the enticements and after the offer of a counterfeit blessing, he says, "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.'" And he goes on with this challenge. "Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, 'Do not answer him.' Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and told him the words of the Rabshakeh." And so he says, "Has any of the gods of the nations," I'm going to list off all of the gods of the lands that I've already defeated, "have any of them been able to defeat me? No." And he says, "So don't let your king persuade you that your God will be any different than their gods." And I want you to know, has any of those kings been, or any of those gods delivered from the king of Assyria's hands? No, not yet. But our God is not their God. Is there anybody that's listening today that is thankful that Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave? He has conquered our greatest foes, all of our foes, and he wants to position us where our feet are up on the necks of our enemies. God wants you more than a conqueror. He doesn't just want you to be just another tally in the devil's notch on his belt. He doesn't just want you to be another list of a defeated foe. He wants you coming forth victorious. And so he goes on and he says, "Have any of these countries, has the Lord delivered them out of their hand?" And here is what their response was. In verse number 21, it says, "But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, 'Do not answer him.'" And so, because the king's command was, don't respond, don't respond. And you know, it took me a long time. I'm a pretty easygoing guy. If somebody asked me a question, I would tell them the answer, and then they would get mad at me if I answered their question. It took me a long time to figure that out. And so let me share with you a word of wisdom that God gave to me. And that was this: just because somebody asks you a question doesn't mean that they're entitled to the answer. I'll say it again. Just because someone asks a question doesn't mean that they are entitled to an answer. People call me all of the time and ask me, who are you voting for? Who are you voting for? My answer is the same every time. I don't tell anybody who I am voting for. I don't. Is it because I'm intimidated? No, because it's my vote. You don't need me telling you who to vote for. You need to get into your... You don't need the media telling you who to vote for. You don't need anybody telling you to vote for, except for God. Get into your prayer closet. Get into the Word. Find the mind of the Spirit and go out and vote as a good steward of the vote that God has given to you. Now, I will tell you this. You have to be registered to vote. So if you're not registered, get registered. Don't let them influence you and say, okay, well, you need to be registered in this party. You're not going to give an eternal account to them. You're going to give an eternal account to God. Get registered, vote the Word of God. And I will say this, I don't care what the culture is. My Oklahoma culture is different than New York culture, which is different than Boston culture, which is different from Florida culture, which was different from Chicago culture, which was different from Texas culture. And you try and take American the American cultural representation of the gospel across the to a mission field. And for many times, they're going to reject it. They won't reject the word of God. They will reject your cultural application of it. You and I, we need to find out, what does God want us to do? What does God want us to do? And so this mouthpiece is speaking, is spouting off, just shooting off from the hip, and the people didn't respond to him. They did. Listen, the scripture says a gentle answer turns away wrath. A gentle answer turns away wrath. So if you're sick and tired of fighting, quit responding. Do you realize that when Jesus was on trial, one of the most fascinating things that he did was he did not respond. He didn't say a word. He did say, did someone tell you this, or is this your own conclusion? But when he was asked about defending himself against the charges that were made to him, he sat there and he was silent before them. He didn't respond. It takes two people to argue. It takes two people to have a disagreement. And so if the enemy is spouting off, just stand there with your lips shut until you have a thus saith the Lord. The thus saith the Lord is coming in Isaiah chapter 37. So I don't want you to think your mouth's not going to be used, because you want to wait until you have what God wants you to say. Sometimes saying nothing. I remember one time very vividly, God told me, shut up and walk with them through the process. And so I shut up and I walked through the process, and it was exactly the right thing to do at that point in time. It was also the hardest thing to do at that point in time. Who's going to control your mouth, you or the Lord? And so he didn't respond to the enemy's taunt. I've told you before about a restaurant. I don't know if the sign's still there. I only ate at the restaurant one time, but I walked into this restaurant, and it said, "Tech says, don't ever argue with a fool. People might not be able to distinguish which one is the fool." And I don't want to be considered a fool. The scripture says that even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. So if you're going to respond, respond to the word of God. But if he's just there taunting you, trying to get under your skin, just choose not to let it. I've only got 15 seconds here, but I'll tell you this. I used to have a habit of people being able to say things and annoy me and get me off track. And one day God showed me what was going on, and it changed my life. It'll change yours. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."